Hello and welcome to the Lincoln County Gardener, a weekly segment broadcast on KYAQ Newport, where the Lincoln County Master Gardeners bring you weekly conversations on a variety of gardening topics. Master Gardeners are local community members trained in scientifically based gardening techniques by Oregon State University Extension Service, so we'll be sharing research-based and locally relevant information. My name is Ross. I'm a Lincoln County Master Gardener, and I'll be your host this week. Today, we'll be talking with Marlene Shapira about a topic I'm sure lots of people will want to know about, notably growing tomatoes in Lincoln County. Thank you for joining me.
Oh, my pleasure.
So how do different parts of Lincoln County shape the viability of growing tomatoes?
Well, that is a very good question. You really need to look at the microclimate of where you live, because my neighbors have a different microclimate than I have. People that live on the east side of 101 have a different microclimate. Of course, tomatoes like a lot of heat and a lot of sun, which I have the sun. I can't say I have a lot of heat. I am on the west side of the road. And basically, you need to find varieties that will be happy in your microclimate. And so the shorter season tomatoes, the ones that are 50, 70 days, are the best to go with if you live near the water.
Mm-hmm. So can tomatoes be grown in all parts of Lincoln County?
They can.
With a little luck?
As long as you know what you're doing. No, they can. I have a greenhouse. I don't have a big greenhouse, but I'm glad I have one because they do like the additional heat. Where I live, it's hard to grow tomatoes outside. I can't say for sure it can't be done, but it's unlikely. Mm-hmm. They won't do as well. But I know people that have tried to grow tomatoes in the area. Some have been somewhat successful, but if you really want a decent, you know, productive crop, they need more heat. Mm-hmm. So I do grow mine in a greenhouse. I have a raised bed in my greenhouse.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever tried growing tomatoes outside where you live, outside of the greenhouse?
Well, accidentally, yes. I had one variety that I didn't think was doing well. I had it outside and it actually started to grow and it did bear some tomatoes. Mm-hmm. And I have some friends that have tried to grow them outside with some success. But the reality is that they really do prefer more heat. They'll be a lot more productive if you can give them what they need. Mm-hmm. It's not impossible to grow them outside, especially if you have a cloche or some sort of protection over them, then they can be grown outside. I did grow them outside with cloche, actually, initially.
Mm-hmm. That's how we do it at the South Beach Demonstration Garden, which
is also
pretty cold, slightly away from the ocean, but still not exactly
there. East County. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, they can do very well in a cloche. Mm-hmm. And so you can have them outside, you know, as long as you have them protected.
So is part of it that you have to adjust your expectations from a large bounteous crop to just being a little happy you got any tomatoes?
Well, yes and no. Uh-huh. I have to say, in my greenhouse, I've had really very productive tomatoes. Outside, I know of people that have had really productive tomatoes, but I would say have high expectations, but also be realistic. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't have the heat and the sun that they need, you need to try to accommodate them in whatever way you can. So a cloche or some sort of covering, you know, protection for them would be best.
So cloches are one strategy that you can use to sort of overcome the lack of heat issue. Is there anything that can be done for the lack of sun?
Well, that's a good question. You want to, of course, plant, if you're going to plant them outside, you want to put them in the sunniest part of your yard, right? Yeah.
And I've heard of people trying to grow them, like, with a white wall behind them or something like that to try and reflect light back onto them.
I mean, there are ways that help. People can use artificial lighting, even. Mm. It's not ideal. People also put red plastic around them. You know, they do sometimes have reflective board and back, and sometimes that helps. It's still not as good as having a full sun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But there are things you can do to, you know, improve the situation that you have for your tomatoes.
But it might just be sort of an experiment is how you have to approach it if you live in...
It all is an experiment, really. Mm-hmm. You know, it all is. I grow cucumbers in my greenhouse also. Mm. And I put one outside in my raised bed and one in the greenhouse. And I compared productivity, and the one outside grew fine and it had a few cucumbers. The one inside, the cucumber plant was all the way up to the ceiling of my greenhouse and covered with cucumbers.
Mm.
Because like tomatoes, they like that additional heat You just need to, yeah, you need to accommodate them in whatever way you can. But I found out that really they can grow outside, but just not as well.
Yeah. What are the best varietals for growing tomatoes in the different parts of the county?
Well, Stupis is one variety. Celeste is another variety that's really good. The cherry tomatoes in general grow better at the coast. You want to mainly look for short season varieties. And there's quite a few of them that are short season, like 50 to 70 days. And so if you stick with that, and you can grow slicers here, definitely cherry tomatoes do the best. I have grown beefsteaks.
Wow.
Some years they do okay. Some years they're going, what are you doing? You're not giving me enough of what I want. But for the most part, if you accommodate them, you know, you give them what they need, you can even grow a beefsteak. They are harder to grow, like where I live, you know, mm-hmm. closer to the ocean. It is harder to grow. But I've had some years where I've grown massive beefsteaks, and other years it just went, no, we're not going to do it. I stick with primarily short-term cherry varieties and slicers. And Sun Gold is another one that's a cherry tomato that's very popular. And Orange Perouche is also a variety that's a cherry, very sweet cherry variety.
Hmm. So when you're looking at different varietals of tomatoes, they might say things like determinate versus indeterminate. What are the different types of tomatoes and what might a gardener in Lincoln County want to pick?
Determinate are more like a bush tomato. They don't grow quite as tall, quite as wiry as indeterminate. There's a lot more varieties of indeterminate, though, and they can go a little crazy. Mine go up to my ceiling of my greenhouse, and I keep trimming them back, and they're always up to the ceiling of the greenhouse. I started with 10 in my raised bed, then I went to 8 because they were so intertwined, then I went to 6, and that's where I'm at right now in a 3x15 foot raised bed in my greenhouse. I have 6 because they still intertwine, because most of them are indeterminate. The indeterminate also are more ever-bearing. You know, you're going to get more tomatoes over a longer period of time.
Mm.
You know, the good thing about the determinate is they're smaller. And you get one kind of good crop, but then you're done.
Mm.
And so a lot of people prefer the determinate, though, because they don't take up as much room. And, you know, and they're tasty. You know, they've got some good varieties. But you don't have quite as big a choice of tomatoes with the determinate as the indeterminate.
When is the best time to start tomatoes, now that people know what type they want to grow?
Yeah. Well, it depends on if you're going from seed or if you're going to get starts.
Mm-hmm.
I start mine actually in about a week. I'm going to start mine.
So whenever the listeners are listening to it, start them now.
Yeah. You know, again, it depends on where you live.
Yeah.
You know, I live in a little bit cooler climate, closer to the ocean. And so I start mine a little earlier because of that. If you live on the east side, you get a lot more sun, a lot more heat, you can start them a little bit later. And so usually you want to allow about 8 weeks. You know, it just depends. You really got to, you know, understand your microclimate well.
So it's about 8 weeks until they're transplantable, is that?
So you'll have a viable plant in a 1 gallon pot within 8 weeks.
Hmm.
And some of mine are starting to flower by then.
Is it better to start them in little baby pots and then transplant them, or to direct sow?
I used to start mine in seedling flats, right? Mm-hmm. And because I grow a lot, the plant sale was tedious, because then you move into 4-inch pots once they've germinated and they're, you know, you have their true leaves. Then you put them in a 4-inch pot. Then after they've gotten, you know, a certain height and strength and stability, then you move them to 1 gallon pot. But now we've found a quicker way of doing that. So I actually start them in 4-inch pots. If you're going to start from seed, you always use a seedling mix, which is sterile. And I found a quicker way of doing that too. What I do is I put a good potting soil mix in the 4-inch pot, and then the top maybe 2 inches or so is seedling mix.
Mm-hmm.
And I plant my seeds in that. And then as they grow, they go into the potting soil and they can get a little bit bigger, and then I just transplant them into the 1 gallon pot. Yeah.
A little more efficient.
It's a lot more efficient. Yeah.
Less handling of delicate roots as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But a lot of people are more comfortable starting them in seedling flats, and there's certainly nothing wrong with that. It's just I do such a quantity of them. It's nice to have a save a step there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But most people aren't trying to churn out the amount of tomatoes that we have.
Yeah. But the main thing is if you're going to start them from seed, you want to start them in seedling mix.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you have any other tomato tips?
Well, yeah, I do actually. one thing you want to do, and people are sometimes shocked by this, but you want to, if particularly if they're indeterminate, because they get pretty tall and wiry, you want to prune them.
Mm.
The determined don't need as much pruning, if any, but the indeterminate get really tall and really wiry. And so you want to start taking off some of the suckers, you know, that kind of thing. I prune probably, without exaggeration, I probably prune about 50% back. On my,
wow, yeah, that's pretty severe.
Yeah, but again, it's in my greenhouse and they go a little crazy. I have them in a special soil. They really like it. And so they go a little crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But you really want to prune because it basically strengthens the root system. And the branches that you're leaving get stronger. And it gives them more opportunity to bear and produce more. Instead of wasting, you know, their energy on branches that may not be productive.
Mm-hmm.
So pruning is really crucial. I prune quite often, actually. Once they're established, you know, they're in my raised bed, as soon as they start getting a little wiry, I start pruning them.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are shocked by that. When I had some apprentices I was mentoring, their tomatoes weren't doing well. And I said, well, you need to prune them. They said, what? You don't prune tomatoes? I said, oh, yes, you do. And so I showed her how to prune and everything. And then the tomatoes took off. They did really well. It's something I recommend, especially for indeterminate varieties.
Mm-hmm. What else makes your tomatoes successful?
Good soil.
Yeah.
For one thing. In my greenhouse, I replace it every year because I only have one raised bed. And, you know, you're supposed to rotate beds. And tomatoes are heavy feeders, and so they suck up all the nutrients. I found there's a place that in the Longmouth Corvallis area that sells bulk soils, and they had a greenhouse mix that had microorganisms and all sorts of stuff, and it was pretty spendy. But I ended up getting that for my raised bed, and my tomatoes just took off.
Mm-hmm.
So really rich, you know, they're heavy feeders, so you want a rich, ideally organic soil with a lot of compost and microorganisms in it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Perfect. So where can people find your beautiful tomatoes if they want to grow them in their own gardens?
Well, the plant sale.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we're having a plant sale May 16th, and I'm one of the leads for the tomato section. And I can tell you we'll probably have about 600 tomatoes that we have to offer. And we'll have a variety. I mean, I think we have 11 growers. I can't tell you the exact number of variety of tomatoes yet, but it's probably going to be probably about 20 varieties.
All hand-picked for Lincoln County.
They are, and they're mm-hmm. all hand-grown. You know, they're all grown from seed.
Yeah.
It's looking good.
Looking forward to it. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, my pleasure.
To get into some seasonal tips, let's talk about alliums this week. Alliums, which is a genus of plants that includes onions, leeks, and garlic, are staple coastal crops. Allium seeds take a long time to germinate and reach a transplantable size, so you should start seeds now, as many varieties of alliums still won't be ready to put in the ground for months. In general, starting seeds in February means that they can be put into the ground in June. Garlic is grown differently from other alliums and is planted in the fall. We did a full episode on growing garlic last fall that you can listen to on the LCMGA website for more information. For onions, if you don't want to wait while seeds germinate and grow, you can visit local gardening stores for onion sets, which look like really tiny onions. They still take several months to grow into fully sized bulbs, though. It may seem counterintuitive, but smaller bulb sets are better, so use the larger onion bulb sets for growing green onions that are harvested before they produce a bulb. If you're growing leeks, you can mound soil up around the stalk several times as it grows to extend the part of the plant that is tender and lighter colored and generally preferred for eating. Different types of alliums will do better in different parts of the county, with some master gardeners who live right by the ocean experiencing difficulty getting bulbing onions to grow bulbs, so you'll have to experiment to see what works best for your garden. That's it for our program this week, but tune in for future broadcasts on KYAQ Newport. You can find out how to contact us with all your gardening questions on our website, www.orcoastmga.org, where we'll also be putting these episodes after they air if you need another listen. We'd also love to hear your subject suggestions for future episodes of the Lincoln County Gardener. This broadcast is created by the Lincoln County Master Gardener Association, who work in collaboration with the Oregon State University Extension Services. Until next time, happy gardening!